Well, good morning. It's so good to be preaching to the multitudes who love Jesus today. And I'm going to keep saying it and saying it. This is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. I've been praying and asking the Lord what he would like for me to minister today. I know everybody is kind of cooped up at home. I like how our president said it. He said, during this time, enjoy your living room. And Sue and I have been doing exactly that and doing our best to obey the instructions. Our mayor here in Tulsa this week issued it. I think he called it a shelter in place, safer at home, actual order this time. It's not just a suggestion. If they catch you gathering in groups now around town, you might get a fine or be arrested. So it's serious, and I understand why they're doing it. The other day, it finally I heard a number that got my attention. You know, we've got over 300 million people in the United States, and somebody said, you know, well, probably just 1% might die. But if you multiply that out, that's over 3 million people. And so I certainly understand why they're taking their precautions, and I'm glad they are, and I'm glad our government is a government that cares about its people and the financial help that's going to be coming not only for people, but also for the businesses. If the businesses don't stay in business, there's no jobs to go back to. Anyway, it's just I'm grateful to be in America. I wonder what it's like in Russia, Cuba, Venezuela. Oh my, we are blessed to live in this land, and we need to remember that it was founded on godly principles, and we need to make sure it stays that way. When I was praying, it was like the main thing that the Lord wants me to minister about today. I'm trying to do my posture right. I kind of slumped over in a recent video, so trying to do better, learning how to do this. He wants me to minister on doing what we have learned, or you might say not letting these things slip that we have learned. The main idea that I got, he says, be sure and tell them, make sure they understand. I knew this was coming before you did. And I have been preparing you. Everything I've been doing, I've been preparing you for this time. So now, for sure, this is not a time to let these things slip. It's time to be doers of what I've been preparing you for. So this lesson today, we're going to call it, Do What You Have Learned. Do what you have learned. So if you want to follow along with me in Scripture, the first place we're going to go is Hebrews chapter 1. And I'll give you just a moment. And really, Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 and 2, summarizes really the whole book of Hebrews. You got to remember that letter was written to people who grew up under the law. You know, a little boy growing up, how do I please God, Daddy? Well, son, you do your best to keep the law, and if you miss it, you offer the appropriate sacrifice, whatever the offering is prescribed by the law, and that's how you please God. Well, and that was how you please God under the first covenant. See, God found fault with that covenant, so he did away with that one and has established a new covenant, a better covenant, established on better promises. And so somebody came and preached Christ to these people, and preach the cross and everything that goes along with the gospel of Jesus Christ. You no longer put your faith in your ability to keep the law. You put your faith in the finished work of Jesus Christ. And when you do that, he makes you a new creature. You're literally born again. You actually become a child of God. Well, that's really the whole book. I mean, there's lots of details in there, but that's the essence of the book of Hebrews. Don't think you can go back to the law just because you're having some persecution. There is no going back to that covenant. That covenant has been done away. There is a new covenant, which is established on better promises. Don't forsake Jesus, no matter what. So, Hebrews chapter 1, I'm going to go ahead and read it now. Verses 1 and 2. God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, here it is, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds. Now, over the past several years, going back to when I first started teaching about the era of the Radical Grace Movement, that movement is, they cannot teach what they teach without doing away with the teachings of Jesus, because the teachings of Jesus are completely incompatible with it. Jesus did not teach that gospel. They're teaching a different gospel, and they're in grave danger, and so are all of their followers. Paul said if anybody come teaching another gospel, they should be accursed, and that word means forever. So the writer of Hebrews is reminding them, no, God spoke to us by his son. And look at Hebrews chapter 2, verse 1. Therefore means based on that fact that God in these last days has spoken to us by his son, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard. Heard from who? Heard from the son. Because when Jesus sent out the first 11, the very first apostles, he said, you go and you teach them to observe, and that means to do everything that I taught you. So there's no different gospel. The apostles went out and they taught the same things that Jesus had taught them. These are the words that God has spoken to us in these last days. He has spoken to us by his son. We better give the more earnest heed to these things, lest at any time we should let them slip. Well, man, we could just go on and on. And see, that's really the whole message again of the book of Hebrews. You can't let slip. You can't do away with the teachings of Jesus Christ and try and go back under the law of Moses to please God. That covenant has been done away. It is a new covenant established upon better promises. Jesus, I am the way, the way. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. Well, praise God for that. Well, God has spoken to us by his Son. And listen here, if you've been affiliated with the prayer center or ministers that are locked arms with us around the world, you know, there's a lot of people that have joined with us in this quest. You have learned a lot of things over these years. And especially in this last couple of years, last few years, I'm thinking about the First John series. I'm thinking about the God at War series. I'm thinking about so many that Pastor Jim Martin has taught, Pastor Bronk has taught down in Florida, and other people. Listen, he has not been preparing us all of this time to let all of these things slip now. Thank God for the Holy Ghost that Jesus has sent, the Spirit of Truth who has been teaching us how to function in this world as children of God. And for sure, right now during this pandemic, this is not a time to let any of these things slip. So today I'm going to go through just a few things. There's so much you couldn't cover it all, but a few things that he especially has brought forward that we need to make sure we're doing in these days. We don't want to let them slip. So, first, number one, do not forsake the mission of the prayer center. Listen, God has lots of people doing his kingdom work. Thank God for the people in Tulsa, like the Salvation Army and John 3:16, that are feeding the poor and sheltering the homeless. And we just went through the winter season, and thank God that they bring them in on those frigid winter nights and give them a place to stay. Thank God, God's got people doing that. God's got people that specialize in evangelism, and I thank God for that. And they're out on the streets and they're winning people to Jesus. Well, thank God. But see, there's many parts to the body. Our part, he has given us an assignment that goes all the way back to Pastor Dave. When I remember at the time, Dave was really kind of joined with Grace Fellowship Church here in Tulsa, which is a great church. But the time came when the vision that what let's say it a little different. The vision, the calling, the mission, the assignment that God was giving Pastor Dave, the way God said it, that assignment, that vision will no longer fit within the vision that I've given to that pastor of Grace Fellowship here in Tulsa. He said, you are going to have to gather a group of people to do what I've called you to do. And what that is to go far enough into God to bring a supernatural revival to this city and then around the world. And he means a revival of signs and wonders, and the kind we talk about where I bring up Tommy Perez, for example, who was born with cerebral palsy, or our little Victoria, who is born with a brain defect. But where do you take somebody with a brain defect? She's born with a partial brain. There's no hospital. There's nowhere you can go that where they can make that a full brain in her. And right now, there's nowhere I can take Tommy Perez, even in the medical world or a religious group of any kind, where I know that when I brought Tommy back or Victoria back, they would be normal and healed. But you know and I know that if the Lord Jesus himself was still on planet Earth doing his ministry, I could take both of them to him. Dave used to say, I may have to get on the waiting list and wait a year and a half, to get into Jesus's meeting there. But I know that when after Jesus ministered to them, when I brought them back home, they would be normal, healthy, and whole. Well, Jesus has not changed. My Bible tells me he is the same today, yesterday, and forever. His ministry then is his ministry now. But God needs a group of people to... This is our assignment. This is the mission of the prayer center. Through all of the pillars that he's given us, through the word, through prayer, through worship, through fasting, through co-laboring with the Holy Spirit, through waiting on God, all of the things that he's taught us, our mission, our portion, our part in the body is to go into this, go into God, pursue this, in the prophecies, the vision for, the blueprint for 2020, complete this purging process so that the transformation can be complete. Recently, he said to us, remember, he said, you are on the cusp of believing me. The cusp is like the edge of a cup or something. You're right on that edge. You're just, at any moment, you're in. But we're right on the cusp of believing him. We're right on the cusp of this thing. And for sure, we don't want to let this pandemic distract us from our mission. So hunker down. Remember who you are. Remember where we're from. Remember why you're here. Our assignment is to continue in these things to bring this supernatural revival to this city first and then around the world. And again, this revival is not going to be a flash in the pan. That's why it's taking so long. There's been many wonderful revivals, but most of them only lasted, most of them a few months, like a year or a year and a half. Some of them lasted a few years, but they're not here anymore. He's told us time and again, this one, he intends to harvest with this revival until he returns. Well, praise God. So point number one, don't forget, this is do what you have learned. Don't forget the mission. This is our assignment. It's been our assignment from the beginning. All right, enough of that. Dave would call it a revival of doctrine, soundness of mind, and sanity. He said it would be a revival so grounded like that, that the finest minds would evaluate and say, your God must be God. See, Jesus said this gospel, a sign of the end, he can't return until this gospel is preached unto all the world, every kingdom, every nation, every town. This gospel. Well, this gospel was the one that he preached. And the one that he preached was accompanied with signs following, healings and miracles and all sorts of things. And he said, that's the gospel I want you to preach. In fact, he told them, don't even leave town until you've been baptized with this power. You shall receive power after you have received the Holy Ghost. And until you have that power, you really can't preach this gospel. Well, again, see, that's why I know he's not coming back next week. This gospel, a gospel with power, the gospel where you see the same things being done that he did. I mean, that's what he told us in John 14. The works that I do shall you do also, and greater than these shall you do because I go unto my Father. Well, praise God. We're pressing towards that mark, and we're not going to stop until we're walking in the fullness of that, because that is this gospel. That is the one that's going to be preached to all the world. Well, it's certainly not being preached right now, but it will be, and that's our mission. And I'm happy to be in it. I feel blessed to be in it. I don't feel slighted. I feel special. And I don't mean in an arrogant way. I just feel, oh, what a wonderful thing to be given an assignment like this from the Lord, to know what it is that we're being called to do. To you know, in any army, it's even down to the private. He's got to know what to do. Where am I supposed to be? Am I a cook? Do I carry a gun? Am I on the front line? Am I hauling away the sick or the injured? You got to know what your assignment is. Well, thank God, at the Family Prayer Center and those joined with us around the world, we know what our assignment is. We know what it is we're called to do. Okay. Now, I want to talk about that blueprint for 2020. It is available at Dave's website. It's daveroberson.org. It is available at Bronc Flint's website. That's Bronc, B-R-O-N-C, Bronc Flint, F-L-I-N-T, all one word, broncflint.org. If you don't have a printed copy, both of them have PDFs of it there. You can print a copy. And the MP3 is at both places, where you can download it and have it on your phone or on your tablet, on your computer, where you can play it. I have personally listened to it. I know I've listened to it. I kept record of it till I was past 30 times. I think now I'm probably maybe 40 to 50 times. But see, listening to it is great. You know what's a lot better than listening to it? Doing it. Doing what's in there. And there are so many instructions. And as I, you know, now that we're going through this coronavirus thing, I'm thinking, my goodness, how good he was to us to prepare us ahead of time, to give us these instructions. He knew we were going to be having this time. We've got more time now, nearly all of us, than we had before to do exactly what's in that blueprint. Now, there's a lot of things in that blueprint, but the essence of it is, come away with me, my beloved. Spend time with my spirit. He's talking about prayer, lots of times of prayer. He's talking about fasting, lots of times of fasting. Right now, you've got time to get in the Word like you haven't been in it maybe in a while. And there's times to just get quiet. I'm telling you, there is no substitute. Just you and the Lord. Pray and read and worship. But there's times you just need to get quiet and see what He would say to you. Have something with you to write it down with or record with it. Something so that you don't let these things slip, whatever He says. All right. So that's the essence of it. Now, what I'm finding during this time, most of the people that I talk with are doing pretty well around the prayer center. But I'm telling you, my neighbors and just normal, fear is just rampant out there. And listen, not only in our own house, but especially when we talk with people, don't join in with that. Help them. Not, you know, if you saw a rattlesnake in your house, you wouldn't put up with that for a minute. You'd fight that thing. You see some snake going towards one of your kids or your grandkids, you'd fight that thing to the death. Well, you got to fight worry and fear like that. Don't you dare let it. And it's easy to let it in. I mean, all you got to do is turn on the TV. It's on every channel nearly all the time. They're making a living off of this thing, you know. At the same time, I don't mean to, I stay informed. That's how I know that we're in not exactly lockdown, but stay at home as much as you can. Only travel for essentials, the grocery store and pharmacy. And yeah, you can go get fast food still at the takeout window type thing. But you've got to fight fear. I'm going to talk about that a little later, exactly how you use scripture to do that. I want to talk about speaking the end result. Man, oh man, if there was ever a time in that blueprint, one of the things he said is train yourself. Only speak the end result. We have had several pretty close friends that's been attacked with this COVID-19. One of them, both of them today are still in the hospital. One is still in very intensive care in a induced coma with a ventilator, I think they call it, because they can't breathe on their own. And they've got them in an induced coma to reserve their resources. So it's taken everything that their body has to fight this thing. The other one that we've been praying for was like that, but thank God that she's only about 40 years old, mother of three children, And it's not at all God's plan to take this woman off the earth. She's a Christian, loves the Lord, spirit filled, but she came very near death. But we have been, and the reports at first were so negative. She was in that induced coma. She was in the on the ventilator, and every day the doctors, you know, that's what they're paid to do, is give us the natural report. Okay, thank you, doctor. And I don't try and change his mind, you know. But I hear his report. But see, my Bible says, who has believed the report of the Lord? So we take that report and we override that one with the report of the Lord. How do you do that? You speak the end result. We did that over her. We're doing that now on the other one. They will live and not die. They will rise up off of this bed. They will declare the works of the Lord with long life. He will satisfy them and show them his salvation. And many, many other things like that. We speak the end result. What is it God wants? What is the end result? Don't be talking about how bad it is. The doctors and the nurses, I guess they probably have to do that. We don't have to do that. We have a different report, and our job is to speak the end result. Well, he told us that in the blueprint for 2020, before this ever came along, preparing us, speak the end result. That's in the one titled Move Out of My Authority, and there's a lot more things in there, but that is so important. So we kept getting these negative reports from the doctors on this young lady, 40 years old, day after day. We would, Sue and I, we would just speak the end result. We would speak the end result. I'm going to attach to this teaching in a PDF something that you've probably gotten before from us. It's called Scriptures for Healing and Health. And we'll have this as a PDF that you can download and print. And we've just taken, oh, I don't know what, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 9 is 18, roughly 18 scriptures, made them into a confession form where you can use these to speak over yourself and to speak them over other people. I mean, he said, speak the end result. And he also said, my word does not return unto me void, but it accomplishes that for which I sent it. Well, he sent it. He sent his word and healed us. And our job is to make sure that we are full of his word, that our mouth is full of his word, and that we speak the end result. So this will be a help to you. You've probably had it before, but I'm going to put it along with today's lesson so it'll be easy for you to see it, find it, download it, and print it, and then use it. Doesn't do any good printed and laying on your coffee table. Get it in your heart. Get it in your mouth. All right. All right. Watch your words carefully. I'm going to put you in remembrance. You can turn here if you want to. James chapter 1, verse 26. Now here's something not to let slip. If any man among you seem to be religious, well, hallelujah. Are you a Christian? Yes, I am. I love Jesus. Okay, good. Good. If you seem to be religious and bridleth not his tongue, what? But deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is vain. Vain simply means it isn't producing anything. It's useless. You mean it matters what I say? It matters what you say. Bridle your tongue. That's why one of the instructions in this blueprint for 2020, speak the end result. Speak the end result. And let's look at another one. Look at Mark 11, 23. Verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart. Now, but shall believe. Now listen. But shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass. He shall have whatsoever he saith. I was talking with a good friend yesterday, or day, might have been day before. I think it was yesterday. We were talking about this very thing. Because, you know, you can go all the way back to the Tower of Babel. When all the people, they all spoke one language, and they got unified in mind, and they had a common goal. Now, these are people that are certainly not saved, and to be honest with you, what they were doing was against the command of God. All of these people were on this side of the flood of Noah. So, The flood eliminated everybody on the earth except Noah and his family, eight people. So everybody on the earth since came from those eight, all right? So the command to Noah and the sons of Noah after the flood was, be fruitful and replenish the earth. It was the same instruction given to Adam and Eve in the beginning. Well, now he's telling them, be fruitful and replenish the earth. Well, they didn't want to go and scatter and replenish the earth. They wanted to stay in one spot, become powerful, and build a big tower to man's glory. This whole project is in rebellion of God. But God himself said, and I didn't have the verse, you can go look it up yourself. God himself said, oh, the people are one, and they speak with one voice, and nothing they imagine shall be restrained from them. In other words, if they're in unity, and they're all saying the same thing, whatever they say, that's going to happen. And that's for people that aren't even born again. I was talking with my friend, and he says, you know, when it says whosoever there, whosoever, the thing that matters, they have to believe that what they say will come to pass. But there's unsaved people like that. You know, there's some pretty powerful business people that they just believe what they say is going to come to pass, and they get people to agree with them, and they get them saying the same thing, and they can cause some pretty big things to happen. Now, we're going beyond the natural. We're talking about in where the Holy Spirit comes and helps us. See, I know the Holy Spirit is not helping the drug cartels with their billion-dollar enterprise. They're doing it through natural means, but they're still using that principle of being in unity and speaking the same thing and acting in the same way. All right, we're talking about the other side, where we're in the kingdom. And what Jesus was, he started that off, have faith in God. See, you're going to be co-laboring with God. If Mark 11:23 is really going to work in our lives, we have to be a people that believe everything that we say comes to pass. Don't you know Jesus believed that? Jesus believed everything he said would come to pass. He was very careful in what he said, very careful in his words. We have got to become that same kind of people. That's part of what's going on right now. He is purging us from a lot of nonsense, a lot of things that, oh, it doesn't matter what I say. It matters tremendously what you say. And we've got to become a people who believe everything I say comes to pass. Everything. Everything I say, I speak the end result, that comes to pass. That is exactly how Jesus functioned. He co-labored with the Holy Spirit that very way. Whether he was talking to a fig tree, talking to a storm, talking to the wind, talking to the waves, or talking to cancer, or talking to a bowed over person, talking to anybody. What he said came to pass. Well, we've got to become that same kind of people. And it starts with speaking the end result. Oh my goodness. All right, we could just go on and on for weeks right there. We can't let these things slip. We have to do. This is a season to do what we have learned. All right. Now, while we're on that same subject right there in Mark 11, let's go ahead and finish this up because this is important too. See, then he starts talking about prayer. Mark 11:24, therefore, he's still talking on the same subject, has to do with words. Therefore, I say unto you, what things soever you desire when you pray. Well, the end result that you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you shall have them. Now that means, think a little while before you pray. At any point in praying if you don't think it's going to be answered. He wants us to be a people of faith. Think about the prayer. Sometimes I ask the Holy Spirit to help me. Now there's some things that I don't have to think about very long. You know, if I've got a 40-year-old mother who's a Christian woman with three kids at home that needs their mother, and she's been attacked with the Corona 19 virus, I know how to pray about that. I know his will on that. The leper found out his will on that. We taught on that a week or two ago. The leper, he knew Jesus could heal him. He didn't know if he wanted to. I know you can. I just don't know if you will. Boy, Jesus answered that question for him and us for all eternity. I will. And immediately put out his hand, touched him, and the man was healed. Well, that's the will of God. But so many things, we need to pray about things. You know, decisions we're going to make and And we ask, you know, just a lot of things. I'm counseling you on those type of things. Spend time with the Holy Ghost. Do you know one of his names is Counselor? One of the names of the Holy Spirit is Counselor. He's the one that's here to give you counsel. And if you'll allow him to make intercession through you, through praying in other tongues when you don't know what to pray as you ought, he'll be praying the perfect will of God. One day you'll just, blink your eyes and went, oh, okay, I got it. I know what you want. Then you can do that. So we need to be a people that believes that our Father hears and answers our prayers. And then Jesus put it on there, so I'm going to put it on there. This is another thing that we have learned and we sure need to do. When you stand, let me read verses 25 and 26. When you stand praying, forgive. If you have aught against any, that your Father also, which is in heaven, may forgive you your trespasses. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father, which is in heaven, forgive your trespasses. This is so simple. The only reason any of us are in the kingdom is because of the blood of Jesus, which provided forgiveness for us. Not one of us deserves to be here. Not one of us earned our way into the kingdom. Not one of us climbed a ladder like the world does to make it into the blessings of God. No, you did not. You were forgiven, you rascal. You know, each and every, there's none righteous, no, not one. You got into this kingdom one way and one way only, and that's faith in the blood of Jesus Christ. We have been forgiven, and we have no right not to forgive others. So just let it go. Now, again, every time I teach on this, because people are not normally taught it, there is a big difference between forgiveness and trust. Listen. I can forgive, I forgive you for anything, really. Trust is another thing. Trust has to be earned, okay? An extreme example, there's forgiveness for the pedophile, but I'm not going to hire the pedophile to babysit my grandchildren, not without a long track record of maybe 10 years, 20 years. If a guy's in prison for embezzlement, okay, he can be forgiven, absolutely forgiven. Most likely, I'm not going to hire him to keep my books, okay, until he has a track record that he has repented. Okay, that's a whole nother thing. All right, going on here. We want to have some the things we have learned. Let us be doers of them now. Last week's message, I believe we titled it, For Such a Time as This. He has been preparing us this whole time for such a time as this. You know, right now it is a really good time to pray for people, to, if you get the opportunity, to witness to them. You know, people's mortality is on their mind right now. And so that's a good time to share with them the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, I have on here also, remember the first lesson in these series that we've done from here. Don't put the Lord to a foolish test, you know. Peter admonished us to obey every ordinance of man so that they can see that you're a good citizen and you're abiding by the law. Now, if we can do that as long as they don't tell us to do stuff opposite to what God says, you know. If they say we can't pray, well, we're going to disobey that. If they say we can't evangelize, we're going to disobey that. If they say we can't share Christ with our neighbor, we're going to disobey that. But when it comes to things like they're saying right now, which are all designed to reduce the mortality rate so that this thing can, by the time it makes it through the country, it reduces the number of fatalities. Praise God. We can cooperate with that. There is no point in putting the Lord to a foolish test. So remember, it was the devil who suggested to Jesus, just climb up on top of the temple and jump off. You'll prove what great faith you have. And all the people will see that the angels, you know, they'll bear you up in their hands lest you dash your foot against a stone. It was the devil telling Jesus to do that. Well, Jesus, in the King James, it says, thou shalt, he just quoted scripture. It is written, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. I really like one modern translation that says, you shall not put the Lord your God to a foolish test. Well, amen to that. So this is no point. This is no time to be going around violating these, not requirements, but suggestions. at this point, in Tulsa, it's right now, it's a little more than a suggestion, not to be gathering in groups, period. So let's don't put the Lord to a foolish test. Right at the same time, I have no fear. I'm going to be fine. We're going to come out the other side of this thing stronger and better looking than ever. Oh, well, that might be me adding that part, but anyway. Now, I want to talk about replacing worry with thanksgiving. I may do this every week for a while, but it keeps coming back up in my spirit. It is possible to walk in the peace of God. And I mean really walk in it. I am walking in it. Sue is walking in it. Most of the people that we fellowship, oh, such a peace that we have. And other people look at you like you're just nutso crazy. But it's because we have learned and we're doing what is taught in Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 through 9. Now this is the, I know this is a repeat. You have already learned this, but my job, like Peter said, as long as I'm in this vessel, to put you in remembrance of these things. You want to walk in the peace of God? Here's exactly how you do it. Philippians 4, verses 6 through 9. Be careful for nothing. In plain English, don't worry about anything. Don't worry. Be careful. Don't take anxious thought. Don't be worried about anything. But in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding. It's this peace is deeper than your mind. Your mind will want to worry. No. See, you've heard me say this before. You know, we've been at this a long time, Sue and I. We haven't had a real paycheck since, I think it was spring of 1995 from a regular job. And we'd always lived on paychecks before that. But that was the last time that we got what you'd call a real paycheck, you know, from a job. God, you talk about those early days of worry. I couldn't hardly go to sleep. God had called us full time into the ministry, and I was wanting to believe God. I was trying to believe God, but man, I'd have these nightmares at night. I'd wake up like almost in a cold sweat, and I'd be having a dream of me and Sue huddled under a blanket, trying to live under a bridge, you know, and wearing gunny sacks. And oh, it was terrible. I just didn't know Him very well as provider in those days. And so my natural mind was dominant. And yeah, but see, I have learned over these years. Now, still once in a while, like, you know, things like right now, you know, we're not having meetings. And so I've had the thought, I know the enemy throws this thought, oh, the finances are going to go down. People are going to quit giving. They've been laid off from their job. They're worried about their job. So the donation. Yeah, well, you know, I have a natural mind like anybody does. That thing will receive that kind of thinking. It's almost like, shouldn't we be worried about this? But it's like something rises up in me. Maybe it is part of my mind or my soul. I don't know. But what happens if that starts? It's like, oh, just hush. He has been delivering us for all of these years. He's going to continue to deliver us now. There is no point being worried at all. Just be at peace. We have a provider. Our Father is faithful. Well, He's not only faithful in finances, He's faithful when it comes to healing. He's faithful in all of His Word. Okay, back to the scripture. I'll try to make it further this time without teaching, but I can't promise that. My goodness. What? Can you tell I love what I do? Pray until you find your calling. I'm telling you, when you find what it is He's called you to do, it's amazing the joy that comes with that. And He has a place for you. Oh, anyway. Philippians 4, 6 through 9. I'm going to try it again. Be careful for nothing. Don't worry about anything. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, that means you're thanking Him because He answered you, let your request be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and your mind. That's in there for a reason. Your heart and your mind through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of a good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. Now take that as a command. Think on these things. And then notice Paul's already preaching my lesson. The lesson today is do what we have learned. Listen to this last verse, verse 9. Those things which you have both learned, there it is, those things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do. That sounds like do what you have learned. And Paul's saying the same thing. Those things which you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace will be with you. And when I teach this, I always try and flip-flop it to for impact. And if you don't do this, if you don't force yourself to think on these things, the good, the true, the honest, the good report, well, that's the word of God. That's God's report. Think on these things. And if you do, you'll have this peace. But if you don't, you're not going to have it. He's just not going to have it. He's telling you how to have it. We need to follow the instructions. We need to do what we have learned. Okay, I've got to speed it up a little bit. We're not going to get through this in time. All right. Now, James, here's another one from James, if you want to go back over there. I should have asked you to keep a marker there. James chapter 1, verse 27. Pure religion, and now this is the very next verse that we read earlier. Let me find it there. James 1:26 said, if any man among you seem to be religious and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is vain. It's empty and useless. Okay. Well, the very next verse says, let me find it here, pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction and to keep himself unspotted from the world. Well, there's two things right there. Let's talk about the last one first. Keep yourself unspotted from the world. With all of this time at home and with TV and the internet the way it is, this is no time to be backsliding back into sin of any kind. This is no time to be watching stuff you know you shouldn't be watching. This is no time to let the world start spotting your walk again with itself. Sue and I, we're doing our best not to spend a whole lot of time on entertainment anyway. It's better to spend it listening to the word and prayer. And we're working in the yard. We're getting some exercise, getting fresh air, that type of thing. But I'm telling you, it's getting harder and harder to find anything that you can hardly watch on TV anymore. You know, I can't even tell you. I should have kept track of it. We'll try and watch this. You're not even 2 minutes or 5 minutes into it. Whoop, can't watch that. Let's try about, just try this program over here. Nope, can't watch that. And then, oh, for God's sake, we can't watch that. You know. Anyway, keep yourself unspotted from the world. But the first part where it says, visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction. Well, that's not just restricted to widows and orphans, fatherless. The point is people that cannot help themselves. People that are they're feeble. They can't travel right now. They can't go do their own grocery shopping. Maybe you can call them on the phone, get a list, and you could do it for them. I don't know. With many grocery stores, you can get online. You can pick out what you want, order it ahead of time, and you could do the same thing for your neighbor, and they'll notify you. And then you go, and they've already got it out for you at the curb, and you just pay for it, put it in the car, and go. So. Check on your friends and your neighbors. I don't mean go over there. We don't, you know, we're not supposed to have gatherings, but call people. The other day we were out in the yard and our neighbors across the street were out in their yard and we, hey, how you doing? You doing okay? You need anything? You know? And remember the people that can't take care of themselves. Check on your neighbors. This is a time to be Christian, you know, to do what we have learned here. Now, the day's going to come when we're going to actually literally, like Jesus laid hands on that leper, there's absolutely no fear, absolutely no chance that anything's going to attack his body. We're coming there. We're pressing toward that mark. But right now, did you know you can pray for people over the phone? Nowadays, with all of the different apps like WhatsApp And if you got an iPhone, you've got what do we call that? FaceTime. There's a Zoom. There's all these different ways. It's almost just like being there. I pray for people in South Africa where we can see each other. It's almost like I'm in their living room. Not just South Africa, but Australia and Germany and other places where you can just, it's like you're there. And I'm telling you, the anointing of the Holy Ghost is everywhere. You can pray. They might be halfway around the world, but you can pray. Just extend your hand as a point of faith for them. They can extend theirs. It's almost like you're touching. And I'm telling you, the Holy Ghost is there. The healing will manifest. You can minister right now. So there's online ministry. Always have it in your. Now, he has been teaching us, as you know, for several years, he has not called us to pray for the sick. Get that thinking out of your mind. We're above there in our thinking. We know better than that. He did not say, go and pray for the sick. He said, heal the sick. Now, it does say in James that we are to pray the prayer of faith, and the Lord will raise them up, and if they've committed sins, he'll forgive them. But that's still the end result. He raises them up. So heal the sick. When you pray, believe that that's going to happen, or just, well, I was, anyway, pray. That's why we're continuing in all of this mode. If you don't believe it's going to happen, keep praying and pressing in, doing this message. You'll grow thereby. You'll mature, and one day, I'm telling you, it's going to happen. Anyway, that's a whole nother message. Heal the sick. Don't just pray for them out of a sense of duty. See, when we pray for that young lady, I mean, it's war. Sickness wants to have her, and we're not going to let it. My friend, this other one that I'm praying for right now, sickness wants to have him. We're not going to let it. Death wants to have him. I'm not going to let it. Okay. I want to mention several good apps, several good programs that you can use on Android and or the iPhone type, Apple type devices. WhatsApp is great. I use WhatsApp around the world. It's wonderful. You can text, you can talk, and you can video. And you can send attachments. It's wonderful. I use it all the time. Skype, it's a little older, but it's still very good. Talk with people in Australia and other places with that. If they have an iPhone, you can just FaceTime directly. And I found out yesterday, if they both iPhones, I can FaceTime somebody in another country, and there's no additional charges with that. I didn't know that till yesterday. One of the more popular ones right now is Zoom. Now, I'm still learning Zoom. I'm 73. If I can learn it, you can learn it. Okay. But I'm learning Zoom right now. Zoom is a wonderful thing. I first heard about it on the news, local news here. The lady said she taught her Sunday school class that way. They had 25 people. And this Zoom thing, you can see everybody. It's like you've got 25 little bitty screens on there, and everybody can see everybody. And it's like a classroom. And I think you can have up to 100 people in one Zoom meeting. And I know there's bigger ones than that because corporations have bigger meetings than that. So I'm just saying, do some research, learn these things. There are lots of ways to minister. I'm thinking right now about the intercessory prayer group that was meeting on Saturday at the prayer center. I'm thinking there's really no reason why they can't still do that. If we got everybody on Zoom, got it on their devices, we could still have those prayer meetings just like almost they're in the same room, just like it was before. Anyway, we don't have to let this stop what God has called us to do. Okay, I'm going to go a little farther. Let's talk about finances for a minute. I want to talk about yours. One of my son-in-laws got laid off. Actually, he's a grandson-in-law now. Got laid off from his work. And of course, we're believing and praying. And you know, within a week, they called him back to work. Praise God. He's working today. Well, not today, it's Sunday. But anyway, he's working back to work. Another grandson-in-law of mine, he just got laid off a few days ago. And thank God for that, they've loosened up the waiting time on the unemployment. And it looks like our government is going to send some help. But the point, and all of that's good. See, all of that's natural things. We're glad for that. But see, when it comes right down to it, who is your provider? It's not the government. It's not really your job. It's your father. Your father is your provider. And that's what Sue and I have had to learn. Well, yes, we did. We had to learn it in the early days. But we've learned it. I don't have to learn it again. I just need to do what I've learned. So I'm going to show you another one here. We're going to have this also. When you download the PDF of today's message, it's going to have both of these documents together. This one is called Scripture for Financial Increase. It's just, again, I don't know how many verses that are made into a present tense confession so you can speak the end result. Now, just so you'll know, Sue and I don't let a day go by without speaking both of these over ourselves. This is something we don't miss. We don't let this slip. We speak, both of us together in agreement. We speak both pages of this every day over ourselves. And that's why I want it to be available for you. Then, if we find out there's a need, well, of course, if we can meet the need, if we've got extra, we'll send the money. We'll give the, what was it? There's an old Seinfeld thing somebody reminded me of the other day where there was a toilet paper issue. And she says, well, I can't even spare a square. We need to spare more than a square, okay? How did Dave used to say that? He says, I think this was when we were facing the year Y2K, you know, 2000. Man, I've got to speed things up. It's anyway, Dave says, what are you going to do? You're going to stockpile food and water and get your shotgun with you and huddle your little family down in the basement, and your neighbor comes over with his little kids in tow and they're starving to death. What are you going to do? Blow their brains out with your shotgun? I don't think so. No, you're going to open up your stores to them. You're going to share what you have and trust God to bring more. And that's the truth. That's who we are. Now, I believe it. You know, we've got some canned goods out there. Sue and I were actually counting up the other day. I think we could live here for as long as we don't lose our water supply. We could live here probably 3 months. And never have to leave the house. And we didn't do it on purpose. That's just how we live. I mean, we just, you know, my wife is great. She finds a sale on canned goods. Let's say it's corn that day. Buddy, a corn coming into the house. You know, or whatever. What a good sale. Here it comes. Same thing. We've got a freezer out there that's full of food. We could live a long time, but so could our neighbors. If it really comes down to it, what we have is theirs. Okay? All right. Getting back to this. His name is I Am for a reason. I heard one preacher say this, and it was even before Dave, but it's so good. Why does God call himself I Am that I Am? He is whatever you call him to be in your life. If you decide, if you take his word that he is your healer, well, I Am becomes your healer. If you take his word that he is your provider, I Am becomes your provider. You could go on and on. Your righteousness, your peace, your joy, on and on and on. But he becomes what you say he is. That's, of course, in line with his word. Okay, call him your provider the same way that you call him your healer. Be generous and give to those that have need. I didn't look this one up, but there's in Proverbs, I believe it is, it says, He that lends to the poor gives to the Lord, and the Lord will repay him again. You know, the Lord's watching. That's why I'm hearing Matthew 6. When you give alms, don't do it to be seen by your neighbors. No, this is something between you and your Father. It doesn't really matter so much what they think. It matters what he thinks. You know, it's true. God loves a generous, cheerful, from the heart, prompt to do it giver. One of the reasons we can do that is we're so absolutely convinced he is our provider. He is our provider. God is still able to make all grace abound towards you so that you have an abundance of all things at all times. So many things to talk about. I could go on forever. Now, while we're talking about giving, I do want to remind you about giving to the prayer center, the Family Prayer Center in Tulsa. Our home church is kind of the mother church of all of these ministries around the world. And if you, it doesn't matter if you're in Australia, New Zealand, or Africa, wherever you are, thank God for the Family Prayer Center in Tulsa. And during this time where there's no meetings, there's no opportunity for donations, we don't want to forget giving to the Family Prayer Center. So I'm going to, the best way to do it right now is to just send a check. Just put it in the mail. I know, snail mail they call it, but still right now it's the safest way. Just make a check out to DRM or the Family Prayer Center or Dave Roberson Ministries. And I'm going to give you the address again. You put it to the Family Prayer Center, Post Office Box 725, Tulsa, Oklahoma, 74101. That's Post Office Box 725, Tulsa, Oklahoma, 74101. The light bill needs to be paid. Salaries need to be paid. Listen, they're still working, sending Dave's teachings and Dave's foundational messages that really grew us all up. They're sending it to every part of the world every day. It goes into prisons. It goes everywhere. That work must continue. So don't forget the Family Prayer Center during this time. There's no meetings where offerings can be given. It's up to us, okay? Don't let your giving drop off there. And we, of course, Sue and I, we thank you. But listen, we learned a long time ago. We really appreciate everybody who's helping us. And several of you have stepped up big time. And you know how much we appreciate it. But we really did learn that lesson well. I don't want to ever have to learn it again. But we know who our provider is. I'm going to say it again. If God has to send a three-legged turtle up on my porch with money in its mouth, I don't care how he does it, he's going to take care of us. If he puts us on your heart, well, thank God. Now, again, I want to remind you, we're going to post both of these today in PDF format. They'll be together like this, and you'll download them. You can download them and print them. Get them in your mouth. Speak the end result. This is a time to do what we have learned. Father, I just thank you for your presence right now with each and every person that's watching this video. Oh, Lord. Lord, I feel your presence, and I know that right there you're saturating them now with the same. Lord, we thank you for your healing touch. Be healed in the name of Jesus. Father, we thank you for your financial touch. Father, you are their provider. Father, we thank you for the peace of God that does pass all understanding, Lord. We thank you for the Comforter, the Holy Spirit. You have not left us as orphans, Lord. You've sent the Holy Spirit to be our Comforter, our Counselor. He's the one that leads us into all truth. He will never leave us, Lord. Never forsake us. We are never really alone. Father, we thank you for everything you've done for us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right. We'll see you again soon. Bye-bye for now.